Chapter 14, The Last Chapter. Ignatius spent the day in his room, napping fitfully and attacking his rubber glove during his frequent, anxious moments of consciousness. Throughout the afternoon, the telephone in the hall had been ringing, each new ring making him more nervous and anxious. He lunged at the glove, deflowering it, stabbing it, conquering it. Like any celebrity, Ignatius had attracted his fans. His mother's jinxed relatives, neighbors, people Mrs. Riley had not seen for years. They had all telephoned. At every ring, Ignatius imagined that it was Mr. Levy calling back, but he always heard his mother say to the caller the lines that were becoming tearfully standard, "Ain't this awful? What I'm gonna do? Now our name is really ruined." When Ignatius could stand it no longer, he would billow out of his room in search of a Dr. Nutt. If he chanced to meet his mother in the hall, she would not look at him, but rather study the fleecy spheres of lint that drifted along the floor in her son's wake. There seemed to be nothing that he could say to her. What would Mr. Levy do? Abelman, unfortunately, was apparently a rather petty person, a man too small to accept a little criticism, a hypersensitive molecule of a human. He had written to the wrong person. The militant and courageous broadside had been delivered before the wrong audience. At this point, his nervous system could not manage a court trial. He would break down completely before the judge. He wondered how long it would be before Mr. Levy descended upon him again. What senile conundrums was Miss Trixie babbling to Mr. Levy? The infuriated and confused Mr. Levy would return, this time determined to have him incarcerated at once. Now waiting for this return was like waiting for an execution. The dull headache persisted. The Dr. Nutts tasted like gall. Abelman certainly wanted a great deal of money. That sensitive plant of an Abelman must have been greatly offended. When the true author of the letter was discovered, what would Abelman demand in lieu of 500,000? A life? The Dr. Nutts seemed only as an acid gurgling down into his intestine. He filled with gas, the sealed valve trapping it just as one pinches the mouth of a balloon. Great eructations rose from his throat and bounced upward toward the refuse-laden bowl of the milk-glass chandelier. Once a person was asked to step into this brutal century, anything could happen. Everywhere there lurked pitfalls like Abelman, the insipid crusaders for Moorish dignity, the Mancuso Cretan, Dorian Green, newspaper reporters, strip-teasers, birds, photography, juvenile delinquents, Nazi pornographers, and especially Myrna Minkoff. The consumer products, and especially Myrna Minkoff. The musky minx must be dealt with. Somehow, someday, she must pay. Whatever happened, he must attend to her, even if the revenge took years and he had to stalk her through decades from one coffee shop to another, from one folk-singing orgy to another, from subway train to pad to cotton field to demonstration. Ignatius invoked an elaborate Elizabethan curse upon Myrna, and rolling over, frantically abused the glove once more.